Senator Tester, a hearing that you held in your subcommittee focused on cultivating the federal workforce, and we'll talk about the trust element of that in just a moment. But it was my sense that you had a lot of questions for the witnesses and got answers that were maybe not as full or as complete as you would like, or maybe didn't directly address the concerns that you have. Is that a fair read on my part, sir?
I think that is. I mean, I think that you know, the federal workforce is a big beast, and there's a lot of different alleys where people are working on, let's put it that way. And I think that every one of them is a little bit different. I think what we saw at that hearing was the panels gave us their perspective on their different agencies, whether they were trade agencies or whether they actually worked for the government, and really gave us their perspective on what we could do to increase morale, what we need to do in the long term to be able to recruit 21st century trained employees, and basically what we need to do to make sure that folks who are like providing health care through the VA or protecting our borders or putting out wildfires feel appreciated.
So you mentioned the VA, and obviously the VA is under a lot of pressure, particularly Secretary Shinseki, but the broader issue there is actually twofold from my point of view. One of them is the relationship that the average citizen has with his or her federal government. And the other is what employees within an organization, not just the VA, but organizations across government, the relationship that they have with their superiors or with the employees that report to them. And it seems in both cases right now, there's kind of a crisis of confidence or a crisis of trust. What is your sense of the steps that you would at least like to look at to see about rebuilding that trust and confidence that people have in their government or in their superiors or workforce?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to work for as much transparency as possible within the agencies and within the workforce. I think that's critically important, and with that transparency will come accountability. And I think that is also very, very important. You know, as we're moving forward, a lot of it, and I hate to make it this simple, Francis, but a lot of it is feeling appreciated. I mean, I can tell you as a farmer, I feel much more appreciated if I haul my grain to a grain buyer that says, geez, this is the best grain I've ever gotten. Thank you very much. It's good doing business with you. To the guy who you haul the grain to and he says, well, this is terrible stuff. I don't really like this stuff at all. I'll take it because I have to. Well, that same kind of scenario could be laid back on the employees that work for the federal government. We've had sequestration and pay freezes and government shutdowns, and we've tried to balance the budget on the back of the federal workforce, and I think that just sends the wrong signal, whether you're the employee that's on the ground doing the hand-to-hand combat, so to speak, or you're their supervisor, or you're in total leadership. So look, I think that attitude means a lot. And I think when Congress does silly stuff and adds to unpredictability, it affects the workforce in a very, very negative way. So more transparency, more accountability, and get Congress to give more predictability.
And the predictability factor, from what I hear from speaking to leaders across government, is the biggest factor, Senator Tester. That's the problem over the last couple of years especially. And it's not just workforce, it's budgets and project planning. And it's turns out in many cases, people tell me, costing them more to do projects than it would have because they're doing them in fits and starts. Do you have any sense that your colleagues on both sides of the aisle understand this, and maybe that's the reason we're seeing a bit of a smoother appropriations process this time around?
Well, let's hope that appropriations process goes smoother, because I think it will add to the predictability. I don't know if they understand it or not. Quite frankly, I served in the state legislature, and some of the elected officials there got a kick out of beating up on people who worked within the agencies. And it's no different here. And those folks are probably going to be there regardless. The bottom line is that I think we need to do whatever we can do, whether it's through the appropriations process or whether it's working together as Democrats and Republicans to do the best for these agencies that are providing services that people depend upon. So undoing the gridlock is another part of that. So, you know, there's plenty, let's put it this way, Francis, there's plenty of opportunity out there for success. I think it starts with working together and predictability.
What are the pieces of this issue, given the fact that there are folks in Congress that are, or at least haven't in the past couple of years, been in favor of the predictability that you're advocating. What are the pieces that everybody seems to agree on? Your colleague and counterpart, Senator Portman, on your subcommittee, Senator Carper and Coburn, the leadership of the Homeland Security Committee. What are the pieces where you all agree where you could conceivably move forward to help these agencies and build their workforces and build that confidence and trust back?
Well, let me. This is my opinion. I think that everybody wants to see the agencies lean and mean and effective. I think they want to see the employees well trained so they can deliver the services to the people that they're delivering the goods to. I think that they want to see people stay with the agencies over time, because I think they think that there's some effective increases in productivity the longer a person can stay with an agency. Now, I say that, Francis, because I'm not sure that's the case, but those are the kind of common sense things that I think make sense, that regardless whether you're a conservative, a liberal, libertarian, or whatever, you could be in favor of. I think, you know, we talk about well-trained workforce all the time. We're going to be talking about college education here next month on the floor. Well-trained workforce is good for employers, and in this case, it's good for the federal government because they're the employer.
Well, how do you see the training and learning component changing, though, to suit members who are uneasy about some of the scandals that have happened over the last couple of years?
Well, I think what my pitch would be to them is that if you've got well-trained folks, you've got folks that are proud of their job, they're very responsible people, and they're going to be more inclined to turn in folks who are doing bad things, and they're going to be more inclined to do the right thing themselves. So I think it will pay back big time. And I can tell you, in the private sector, they would tell you the same thing. A well-trained workforce is their most valuable asset. It does, you know, I'm not one of those that thinks government should run like the private sector, but in this particular case, I think the parallels are obvious.
Senator, I'd like to return to the trust component and the multidirectional way that we talked about it earlier in our conversation. You're obviously very focused on how your constituents in Montana and other people around the country think of the federal government and the way they perceive it to work. But you're also looking at it from the other way that we talked about, which is, what do I as a manager in the government think of my employees? How do I feel about the job that they're doing for me? And how do I feel about their level of engagement? And then the other direction, I'm an employee. How do I feel about my managers and the way that they're leading my organization and how they're having me execute the mission? A large swath of federal employees are participating in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey right now. A lot of people expect those numbers to be the worst ever, which means that 2015 will be the first opportunity to turn things around. Are there steps that you would like to see agencies take in the meantime, vis-a-vis maybe the recommendation you made earlier, to just be able to recognize employees somehow, to try to help those numbers go up, not just for the sake of making the numbers go up, but for the sake of really creating a more engaged, happier, trusting workforce?
I think one of the things that was brought out at this subcommittee meeting that could help improve morale for the federal workforce is recognition of a job well done when recognition is appropriate. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to cut them a check for $1,000. I mean, it can be recognition among peers. It can be an award in the newsletter. It could be, a pat on the back. Thank you very much. This is going in your file. You did a great job. And I think if we start recognizing folks who do go above what necessarily needs to be done, I think you're going to see people strive harder and harder to do the best job that they can possibly do. If you combine that with the fact that we really need to stop things like three-year pay freezes, sequestration, government shutdowns, I mean, those things are just killers. And then the other thing is just this. As whether you're in Congress or whether you're the secretary of an agency or whether you're leadership, you can't be continually passing the buck and bad-mouthing folks. I always say, you know, if you point the finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing right back at you, and that is true regardless. And I think that when we have a situation where somebody's just making blanket statements about a faceless group of federal workers, it really impacts the job they do and impacts their morale in a very negative way.